All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are back, hour number two on Wednesday. And I hope you have a reasonable day ahead tomorrow. It's getting to be harder and harder. There are more and more people who are, I guess the word would be suffering in silence, suffering either from the results of the injections, the bioweapon injections, or the virus itself, or being shed upon. Shedding remains one of the, I guess I could say this because he continues to provoke people with this idea that they need to take that shot. Donald Trump, they trumped everybody into believing that he was a good man. They tricked them. He's not. So stay away from that. All right, here's the deal. We have a really interesting video we're going to play and listen to, another childrenshealthdefense.tv video. Oh, and I got to bring on my better half here. Hi.
Hello.
How you been?
Pretty good.
That's
still
good.
Here.
That's good. You better be. All right. Now, Robert F. Kennedy, who is behind the Children's Health Defense, that whole movement, that's his deal, as far as I know.
Yeah.
He named his vice president, his vice presidential pick, the ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. And I read last hour some of her background. She's a classic ultra-leftist liberal, obviously communist or very close to it. He's just shot himself in all three feet. He's done. That was the stupidest thing. She spent $4 million paying for the majority of his Super Bowl 30-second commercial. So do you think that got her some extra consideration? Maybe? Yeah. She's in very big favor of pushing reproductive rights. You got? Like Planned Parenthood? And pushing several other liberal agendas, including climate change and all that. So it's just it's all a disgusting, shabby, tawdry show of frauds. All of them. I'm not going to leave anybody out. All of them. That's me talking. Not anybody else.
Well, you know, the selection is...
Selection?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, okay. Anything that you want to drop in? I've got some things to cover. We're going to go over this issue of smells tonight as well. Again, we've done this multiple times, and we're going to do it again because people either hasn't stuck with them, or they're not listening, or they didn't hear it, or whatever, but we want to make sure you understand, those of you out there, the few of you, and not that many, as far as we can tell, who are hypersensitive to smells of the vaxxed, okay? So we'll get to that, too. There's a lot on the table here. Anything you want to drop in here before we dive into our video?
No, let's dive in.
All right. All I have to do is find it. There it is. Okay, this lady is married. She is unvaxxed. Her husband is vaxxed. And let's see what she has to say about that. Oh, tell us that little quick vignette of maybe we shouldn't. A woman who just decided to, there was a couple, and they were of mixed vaxxed heritage. How's that? And they decided that they were just going to ignore any potential issues and go for it. So there's a lot of that out there, too. But this whole vax thing is very difficult for people. But shedding, it's, I think, even more difficult, frankly, for many to understand that they are in danger. If you, for example, go to a gym or a health facility and work out for an hour and a half in there, sweating and huffing and puffing and lifting and running and all that, You are literally a sponge for spike protein. Now, I don't want to ruin your good times.
Yeah, that's one of the worst environments. And any place, especially an enclosed place like a gym, where people are sweating and breathing heavy, that's not a good place to be.
No, it's if you think somehow you are going to be able to ignore the spike factor, you're not. You are picking it up in major doses. In many of those places, the air is rather, I don't know, I haven't been in, but I understand that it's not like smelling, you know, beautiful clean air after a storm. It's pretty muggy, pretty grumpy.
Yeah, depending on, you know, how many people are there. And, you know, my experience has been the ventilation is not great in most of those places.
Right. And if you could see exhalations from people, if you could actually see it, if it was colored, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how much air is exchanged and contaminated, tainted with viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, fungi, who knows? And then, of course, spike. I once remember seeing somebody put had an automobile and it was running. It was just a passenger car. And they poured into the carburetor a carburetor cleaning solution. And it momentarily turned the exhaust white, like smoke. And the car was not being revved up. It was just idling. And I could not believe the amount of exhaust that came out of that car. Just enormous amounts of clouds of it. And you don't see it. You don't see it. And same with people breathing. One person can fill up a room with spike probably in short order.
Yeah, and it's toxic.
That's the deadliest thing mankind has ever created, according to our Dr. Chetty. And he's right.
Yeah, you know, there's a variety of responses depending on someone's immune system and how well their liver can detoxify or handle a toxin. Some people are endowed with a high tolerance for that kind of assault. But at the end of the day, it is toxic, and depending on how your immune system reacts to it, it's going to depend on whether or not you can be around these people.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't say that a lack of symptoms necessarily means you're okay. There's
no, we don't know.
Came
this
out
is
the other
a
day
very...
that said that if you're making IgG4 antibodies mm-hmm. to these things, which is the subclass of antibodies that tell your body to not pay attention to this antigen.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine until you get exposed to the virus, and those same antibodies will welcome the virus in, and then you are probably chronically infected without any symptoms until things get real bad.
It's so often a distillation of, are you feeling symptoms or not? And if you're not, you reflexively think you're okay. But
right.
That's not the way it is anymore. Not in this day and age, with 80 to 90% of Americans having been injected, and now the damage is done by shedding. All right, here's this lady going to tell her shedding story. Hold on.
Oh, we're live. Tell us your name.
My name is Marie.
Marie, okay. So this is about shedding, and
yes.
Shedding is real. So did you take the COVID-19 shot?
I did not, no.
Did not. Mm-hmm. But you have an injury story as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. So back in the fall of 2018, I took a flu shot, and it just so happened that I had some blood work following that within a week or two. And it turned out that I had an extremely high thyroid antibody. So I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's shortly after the vaccine. So that was kind of my...
What is Hashimoto's for everyone out there?
That's a thyroid disorder. It's an autoimmune condition where your body is attacking and destroying the thyroid. And your thyroid is, you know, it's responsible for running your metabolism.
Yep. A lot of people are tired out there. Remember that, too.
Yep.
That could be a factor.
Yep.
first clue that maybe those things were not as safe as they claimed to be. So I started searching a lot of that. And so when COVID came around, I became a little bit suspicious that maybe this was a little too rushed to market. And so I didn't take the vaccine, but my husband did. He had the two shots of the Pfizer vaccine in, I believe it was April of 2021. And shortly after that, I had this massive, massive bleeding happen to the point where I was weak. I struggled with just going downstairs, for example. I would look at stairs and go, if I pass out in a staircase, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, the damage that you do in your, with your body rolling down the stairs.
Okay, so what she's saying is, in her period, the bleeding was so bad that she actually began to feel weak from loss of blood. That's shedding from her hubby, okay?
It started putting a lot of things in question when you go through that amount of blood loss. And at first, my doctor didn't believe me. It was like, no, I don't, you know, I haven't heard of that, Marie, like, no. And then, so he started me on all sorts of hormone therapy to be able to stop the bleeding. So at first it was 10 days of progesterone. It stopped it during the time that I was taking it, but as soon as I got off of it, the whole thing started over again. And for weeks on end, I would bleed some more. Then he put me on the pill. So I was on the pill for 3 weeks. And of course, when you get off the pill, the bleeding starts again, as it should be. But then it kept on going, and finally I'm like, what am my recourse at this point? And it just crazy situation. My husband goes on a business trip to Seattle, comes back, and I think it was sometime in July or August. He comes back so sick, and I'm like, oh, for sure you got COVID. You know, you're on an airplane, you went to meet a bunch of people over there. So because a lot of people like myself who were a little bit like, we need some therapies. If we're not going to get a shot, how do we get out ourselves from getting really sick? So I got the ivermectin. So I had that in my back pocket in case something happened. So when he came back really sick, I gave him some ivermectin. I gave myself some ivermectin in case he was going to get me sick. And lo and behold, 2 days later, bleeding completely stopped.
After the ivermectin?
Completely stopped. I kid you not. It was like a miracle. It was, and the more I researched it afterwards, because I told my doctor, I'm like, how is this possible? And then it came out, and I forget when it was, but they figured, probably I think it was the following year, where the ivermectin somehow binds to the spike proteins or prevents it from docking or something of that nature. And so I'm like, well, that's why it works so effectively to stop what was going on. Now, I still don't know from everything that I've read whether it's damage to the pituitary gland or it's kind of an attack on the lining of the uterus. There's still so much unknown about that phenomena. That's what happened.
I'm curious about this. As we played for you before a long time ago, there's an alleged stolen, leaked CCP, Chinese Communist Party, video streaming conference. And there was Mr. Big was on the left half of the screen, and there were six others on the right. And he said, we have an antidote, but we're never going to give it to the Americans. And the more I keep paying attention closely to anything about ivermectin, the more that seems to be at this point the best bet to be called some kind of an antidote. It's a very, very powerful drug, which has had billions of uses and virtually zero side effects. It's extraordinary, ivermectin. Go ahead.
I can add that I've known of a situation where, again, it was a mixed vax couple trying to save their marriage because, you know, the woman was incredibly sensitive to the shedding, And when the husband got on ivermectin, she was much less affected, much less. So it seemed to curtail the shedding.
I can just say this, I think, with some surety. It would be wise for every one of you out there to have ivermectin at least on hand. We're not recommending yet that it be taken prophylactically all the time, but you should have it. You should have it to have access to it should you get sick from shedding or the virus, and you'll be able to do something about it. This drug is it may be one of the greatest drugs ever conceived.
Mm. And it works fast. I mean, you've heard the stories, you know, it's within
one
hours.
One day. Yeah,
yeah,
hours, one day. Yeah. Okay.
It's yeah, I went back after the ivermectin, I went back to a completely different, typical cycle for 2 years. You know, a lot of my friends were like, well, Marie, you're getting up close to that age, and so maybe you're perimenopausal. Same thing, my doctor said that too, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird that I got a regular period for 2 years after that happened. So I was not in that phase when it happened.
Now, yeah. Your husband, does he understand now not to take any more?
He stopped. He never took any boosters after that because I made him realize that, A, there were a lot of risks for him to take it, because we started getting a lot of reports on the myocarditis. But then I said, it seems like I'm very allergic to a lot of things just naturally. I'm allergic to so many plants, some foods. And I was like, if I'm this sensitive, maybe you should stop taking these kind of shots because I'm going to get injured again. So he's never taken another mRNA shot after that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to this?
I've read some more of the medical literature regarding the shedding phenomena, and it seems like now there's always that debate of shedding occurs according to a 2015 study from the CDC that says, well, there is this shedding phenomena that happens with gene editing products. And then the whole debate started happening with, oh, well, the vaccine is not really a gene editing product. It is a gene therapeutic. And I think Pfizer, as far as I know, when they filed for their emergency use authorization, they did use these terms. And so I think there's a lot of right now fact checkers are saying shedding doesn't occur because we don't have the literature. But the whole premise behind that is because it changed the vaccine definition. They remove the word antigen to cause an immune response in humans because it no longer fit that definition of what the mRNA type vaccines do. And so the shedding is real, and it all depends on how you define what a vaccine is. And really, these shots are not vaccines. They are gene therapies at a very minimum. And now the debate is how much of the nanoparticles that are tied to that technology actually cause gene editing itself and not just gene expression, which is slightly different. So that I'm looking into that because it kind of fascinates me and I don't want it to be repeated, and I want to be an advocate for safer products. And the more I know about it, the more I can talk to people about it.
So. Well, good for her. She's doing her own research and learning. That's excellent. And I still always cringe when I hear the term gene therapy. Therapy has a good connotation, usually, but in this case, it's the antithesis of that. It's gene destruction and modification into something that you don't want anything to do with. So, anyway, good. That was very interesting. Ivermectin steps in, regular period for over 2 years after one apparent very short course. It straightened her right out. It would seem that it broomed out or neutralized a lot of spike that she was getting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like. That's just a guess. But.
Indeed.
Okay.
So, you know, it's the one thing that they keep trying to take away from people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, we have
I wanted to address the shedding insofar as people becoming sensitized.
Yeah.
The
smell, yeah.
Right, right. Well, okay, so there's a variety of reactions, and some people have developed, you know, an aversion to the smell of these people because they can smell them. There is something off about their metabolism, and, you know, we've gone into the reasons why. You know, they have a lot of oxidative stress going on. They're generating lipid peroxides, which are generating aldehydes, which have odors. In some cases, their livers are not functioning well, so they're building up VOCs, ammonia, ketones, acetone, you know, a variety of organic compounds that have an odor to them. And their bacteria, what's living on their skin and in their bodies, is also genetically modified and producing odorous compounds of their own. So there's no doubt that there is a smell to them. Now, why can some people who are unvaxxed smell them and not others, and why are they bothered by them? Well, they've hit that threshold of what their bodies can deal with. They have been poisoned. And this is a common occurrence in people who develop multiple chemical sensitivity, MCS, or otherwise known as environmental illness, also known as toxin-induced loss of tolerance. They've hit that threshold, and their bodies are just saying no. They can't withstand another assault from this poison, and it's, you know, it's the nervous system getting involved with the immune system and trying to protect that person from a further exposure. I hate to say it, but once you've crossed that line, you're not going to go back. It's always going to be that way unless you do some serious detoxification of other chemicals in your environment to lessen the burden that your body has to deal with. Support the liver. The liver needs a multitude of nutrients, all of the B vitamins, alpha lipoic acid, choline.
It also needs to be cleansed. And most people have dirty livers. That's what livers do.
Yeah, they have swampy livers. They have poor bile flow. So getting the bile to flow is important, and you can do that with bitter or herbs. Anything that's bitter will get those bile juices flowing. And this is why a lot of people are having gallbladder issues now, because the breakdown of the blood and the heme produces bilirubin in, you know, depending on how fast the blood is breaking down and how quickly the liver can process it, it's taxing on the liver to have to deal with that. And a lot of times they can't, and this is how you get a backed up liver and gallstones. And it's happening in the vax. It's these gallbladder issues in the vax are rampant now.
Yes.
A lot of people having gallbladders removed, gallbladder cancer. So it's important to support the liver when you're dealing with an issue of toxicity. And, if you can reduce other toxic exposures and also minimize your, interaction with the vax or exposure to the vaxed, that's how you can help yourself. But, we've gone over this before, and it's, I guess it doesn't stick with people. There are groups out there for multiple chemical sensitivity, and, you know, it can be any poison. You know, a lot of times it's just synthetic chemicals, VOCs, petrochemicals, chlorine. And chlorine's notorious for inducing that, you know, overexposure to chlorine, perfumes, laundry scents. And we live in a toxic environment, so there's toxins coming at us from all directions, and some people just are gifted with a better ability to deal with that. But, you know, at some point everybody has a threshold, but
people who complain about the odors. I can't go up to my neighbor's front door. They open the front door and it just pours out of their house. They're injected. I can't stand that. I can't go down the street for a walk because people who pass me by, if they're injected, will be giving off these terrible odors. They are actually smelling odors. It's their body in its, well, it's a defensive posture. It's trying to protect them, save them, where it's alerting the body, you're in dangerous territory. Consider moving away from this odor. Now, it's most people don't have that much sensitivity to odors, and therefore they won't notice them. But those who have been vax injured, either by shedding or the injection or maybe even the virus, they're injured. They are absolutely hypersensitized, injured. They're not going to get rid of it, as Erica just said. You're going to be stuck that way. You smell things that most people can't. But in a way, if you look at it in a positive sense, it's a good thing. Your body has had enough of whatever it is, spike perhaps, and it's telling you, get the hell away. So don't curse it. Use it. Try to use it. I know it's not pleasant, and it's very overwhelming at times from what we hear. We've had people tell us on this program. But it's bad. But in reality, it's good because it's telling you, you're in danger. You're in a bad spot. Get physically away. Change your environment. So it's like the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, the body's a very, very primitive protective mechanism to keep you safe.
Right.
Then, this also leads to MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. And it's when the immune system has become so overwhelmed, it doesn't know what to fight against, what's friend, what's foe, what's self, what's non-self. And this is, oftentimes will lead to autoimmune conditions because the immune system is so hyped up and is reacting to everything. I mean, there are people, believe it or not, that react to water. That's how sensitized they become. And it can go in that direction if you're not careful. You do want to find out, what you're reacting to and try to minimize it. And as I said, you've got to support your detoxification pathways, and that involves more than taking a bath. Your liver is your biggest detoxification mechanism, and then, kidneys, skin, breath. But the liver needs nutrients to perform these things, and, people don't want to take supplements. Well, I hate to say it, but you're not going to get everything you need from food alone. The food supply is depleted. The soils are depleted. There's green harvesting. There's, nutrient loss, if there's any nutrients to begin with, from sitting on a shelf for 6 months.
If there is. That brings up biosuperfood again.
Yeah.
And we highly recommend that. It may be the ultimate supplement, nutritionally speaking, that you'll ever hear about in your life. It's that good. So please consider that. If you don't give your body the nutrients it needs, your body can't take care of you properly.
No, it can't.
The average American diet, you eat, as we say, each capsule of Bio Superfood has over 15,000 different nutrients, many of which you never see in your diet. It's not there.
Yeah.
You're eating chemical junk. And that whatever nutrition may or may not be in the food, you can't access because you're dealing with trying to detox from the poisons that are in it. It's really not a good situation. So, understand that the smelling issue is a defensive thing that your body does on its own, but yours has been hyper-motivated. Hyper. Now, you mentioned water. That's interesting. Do you think that people are smelling maybe chlorine, fluoride in the water? I don't think
it would be the water itself.
What is it? What do you think?
It's just that their bodies are so confused and, the immune system has just, it's overreactive. It's a maladaptive stress response. And it can't figure out what to react to and what not to react to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's a dangerous place to be, because it will turn on itself. That's the thing. It's highly correlated with autoimmune disease. I hate to say it, but if you're waiting for, the vax to perish and things to go back to normal, it won't happen. I mean, you've crossed a threshold in your own body.
It's you.
Yeah, it's you.
It's not them. All right. Now, that's really important to come to terms with. If you can, you'll have a better chance.
And there are ways of dealing with it. As I said, I don't want to sound hopeless, but you know, hiding away. I mean, maybe you want to choose to live like that. That's an option. It's a viable option given the circumstances. But yeah, there are ways of dealing with it.
Give them a couple examples. We're going to get letters.
Well, I don't want to give medical advice, but you know, if you're dealing with MCAS, go online, look it up. There's lots of YouTube videos with qualified practitioners, people that are experienced in dealing with that, to give you some guidance. If you're dealing with chronic inflammatory response syndrome, that's a biotoxin-induced illness that generally afflicts people with a specific HLA, human leukocyte antigen haplotype. It's the immune response gene. These people, and I suspect a lot of the people that are affected by shedding are some of these people with this gene. Their bodies can't tag biotoxins and eliminate them normally. They have to use a binder, an intestinal binder like, well, they recommend cholestyramine, but, you know, you could use charcoal, zeolite, the various
zeolites,
types of fibers.
Zeolites, very accessible, very popular.
Yeah, make sure it's a clean one, though, because not all of them are clean. So they have to use something that's going to sequester bile in the gut so that these toxins don't get reabsorbed. And there's no way around that. That's the way to deal with that.
Okay. All right, very good. We have a couple of human stories here. We always do. But these are two that came in. COVID vaccine injury action and support group. And we've got two of them here. Why don't you go ahead with the first one?
Okay. This is a young woman. This is another tragic outcome of these shots. Now, she seemed to have had... I want to say chronic fatigue syndrome or some sort of ME/CFS before the shot and somehow got talked into the shot. And she had overcome the illness and was doing well. But anyway, here's her story. How common is this horrendous loss of skin elasticity? Any ideas what's causing it? Sort of a hypothetical question because nobody knows what this dart is doing to us. Loss of elastin is irreversible, to my knowledge, and there are no means of replacing it. It's worse than loss of collagen. I can't stop crying, and I'm so scared how bad this will get. Will I look 70 within 10 years, if I live that long? Not looking for any of the usual treatment advice and detox, etc. None of it works. I've gone above and beyond. I've even been abroad for treatment, and nothing that has helped others has helped me. 3 years in May and zero improvement. I've actually declined a lot since the summer. Please don't diagnose me over the internet with ALS, etc. I don't have ALS as far as I can tell, and I cannot cope with any more fear. I am barely hanging on as it is. I have a dart injury on top of existing ME. Apologies in advance if I don't reply. My energy and ability to read text and type replies and screen time are very limited.
And it goes on. I remember that moment so clearly. It was Sunday. I had done my big training session, including teaching spin. What is teaching spin?
Oh, spin class.
What's that? Oh, like a bicycle thing?
It's the stationary bike, and, you know, you pedal as fast as you can and as hard as you can.
That's right. Yeah. All right, so she was teaching spin, and she went for a 20K step walk just for relaxation. It was a stunning hot day. I walked to and around Wimbledon, looking forward to finishing 6 years of studies and starting to look for my own home and moving out of London. I was so content that day. This moment was about 2 weeks before my long-term virus-initiated health problems that were really awful, but I could still live with and do the things I love to do. Took a turn into the unrelenting spiral into ME/CSF. So she had a chronic fatigue autoimmune issue. I'm not sure what the ME is. Do you?
Myeloencephalitis. So it's a swelling of the brain systemic kind of, yeah.
Within a matter of months, everything was gone. Today, I can just about make it to my own kitchen from the prison where I lay down almost all day, every single day, now counting in years. Sometimes I make it to sit on the beach outside my house. The unyielding grief and excruciating agony of what has happened never leaves me, even for a single moment. Not a day goes by where I don't cry for the things I can no longer do, but I so badly want to. If you have health, or even a disease that allows you to work, move, and be somewhat active, truly you have no idea how blessed you are. Absolutely nothing else compares. Everything else has a solution. Everything else is temporary. Everything else gets better with time, even if it's permanent. A disease so disabling without a single treatment and with zero hope on the horizon. Now that is living hell that never gets better because each day you are still here in physical form that isn't living to relive the grief all over again. Treasure what you have. It can so easily be taken away from you. Boy, those are really important words. All it takes is one virus or one injection. Every day I am floored that life can get this bad, and there isn't a single thing you can do to make it better. Feel free to share this. I've always said that. Every day is a blessing. Make the most of it, because it can all be taken away from you. In a moment, gone. It's just there.
It has for a lot
gone.
Of these people. Things changed in an instant.
And they never get better, and it only gets worse. And we're not trying to sound negative here. It's just these are facts. This is what's being reported.
Well, it's a hard road. A lot of people have been left to flounder. The medical system isn't putting any effort into this.
I'll never forget that story, a couple of weeks ago, where this poor vax-injured woman and her family and in-laws, relatives, said, "All right, this is enough's enough. When are you going to get better? Give us a date." They're sick of it. They didn't want to live around it anymore. And they told this poor, suffering human being, "Damn it, give us a date when this is going to be over, when you're going to be better."
Isn't that incredible?
It leaves me speechless that people can be that cold.
Or just, I don't know, there's no empathy. They just can't imagine being in someone else's shoes and what it feels like to hear that.
No, it's true. I don't even know how to begin to understand how people can get like that. Maybe they've been spiked. Maybe they got prions at work. I don't know.
Well, you wonder.
But that's pretty damned inhuman.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. When are you going to get better? All right. Okay, let's go to our COVID Chronicles here and see what's up. Now, we check these on each program. If you're new to the program, we monitor them. Erica's always looking. We want to find out what the reality of it is on the other side of the controlled mainstream media platform. What's really going on out there? And that's what these are really invaluable in helping all of us to understand. All right. We've got a nice group up here, March 25th. AstraZeneca misery, recovery, relapse, post-vax cancers.
Let's do the recovery relapse. Let's get some good information.
All right. Many of you will know my journey, but if you don't, here's a brief overview, and he puts a link up there. You can go read up on it. I recovered to 95% for 6 months of last year. It was incredible. This January, however, I hit a new low. New severe symptoms that I've never had before. Putting two and two together, the key things that have changed are: I took less care of my digestive tract. My HBOT sessions were being canceled. Okay, Chief.
Hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Why didn't you just say hyper? All right, never mind. We're in winter time. Nicotine patches stopped working for me. Well, I think we told you about that. We've been through this nicotine thing before. As much as I hate it, I find it interesting when I can link a worsening of symptoms to key findings. I still think nicotine patches will work for COVID-injured people, but it's clear to me that they only work when we've got certain things in order. So this is what I'm doing to rectify that. I'm stopping sugar and all processed foods. I'm starting goat kefir, Micromax, and Simprove daily. I already take numerous prebiotics following my biome site test, whatever those are.
They do an analysis of your digestive flora microbes.
Got it. Right. And if he's ever taken antibiotics before, they're a mess if he has any left. I'll be getting outside more as it's now spring. I bought a hyperbaric hard oxygen chamber for home use. Fingers crossed. Those hard shell hyperbaric chambers are $20,000. If you can find
more than that. They're more like 40,
used one.
40 grand.
A used, yeah, if you can find a used one and get lucky. Anyway, so there's
these oxygen chambers. That is one of the things that you know appears to be helping a lot of people. But again, you know, it's expensive to schedule these sessions.
And you have to you got to lay inside one that has had spike exhalating people in there too. That's another angle. I don't know that they. I guess they flush them. I don't know. Anyhow.
That's the thing. You know, you go to these places to recover from spike poisoning.
I just, yeah, it's crazy. Finish this off and then we'll jump to another one. Go ahead.
Okay. Someone else says, I feel pretty discouraged right now, guys. I cannot believe my arm and hand pain has come back, and now my whole back and hip hurt now too. I have no idea what I did to make this come back and why now I am getting pain in other places. I feel pretty angry and defeated right now. It's back to the drawing board for me for researching how to fix this.
Right. Why don't you do, we've been talking about liver and liver cleansing and the importance of the liver. Do that failing livers thing.
Okay.
Is that a good one?
Yeah. A friend of mine posted this. This right here is what you call a miracle. You want to know why? Let me tell you. Robert went to surgery about 7 a.m. this morning to get his new liver. A sweet nurse told me I would receive some phone calls updating me on the actual starting time and their progress. So that first call was a relief. They had started. She said she'd call me back in about 60 to 90 minutes with an update. I was surprised when the second call came sooner than expected. When they saw Robert's old liver, it was far, far worse than expected. The doctor even said they had no idea it was so sick. Note, these doctors here are the absolute best of the best, so this was significant. When they then removed the old liver, a blood clot went through the right side of Robert's heart, putting him in cardiac arrest. They did CPR and began cardiac meds and got him back responsive and basically alive. They then put the new liver in, to which Robert immediately responded. Robert is now back in his ICU room with about 50 medical professionals making a plan for going forward. He is still very, very sick. The road to recovery is going to be long and hard, along with signs of rejection, the possibility of bleeding, and all things liver-related. They will also now have to be on the lookout for damage to the heart. He still needs lots of prayers, But we're over the mountain, and prayerfully, it's all downhill from here.
We don't know his vax status, by the way. I didn't see it.
He's vaxxed. He's vaxxed.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
The idea of going all the way through the chain of progression to qualify for a liver transplant from a donor somewhere and getting that surgery scheduled and getting it done is pretty remarkable. And then to have it turn out that the liver is so much worse than all modern testing and scanning could determine should give you a moment or two to think about how good are these diagnostics. They should have known, you'd think. I mean, it sounds like the liver was going to jump down to the floor and run around and start barking and biting people. It was that bad. It was horrific. And they didn't know.
You know, the livers are getting really beat up with these shots. You know, part of it is the lipid nanoparticles that you know, make their way to the liver, and I'm sure there was damage from those.
Right.
And then probably many of the liver cells themselves were transfected and are producing spikes, so there's probably some degree of autoimmunity going on with that. And then they have to process, well, all the byproducts of blood having been broken down, as I said, the bilirubin. And they're not making choline normally. Choline is something that's needed to emulsify the fat in the liver and make the bile flow. And then if you've got, you know, iron loading or these porphyrias that are dumping, you know, the porphyrins themselves will damage the liver, and the iron damages the liver. I'm not surprised we're seeing an epidemic of liver failure now.
It's all over the place. Okay, here, for those of you regulars, you'll know the name Mike O'Mara, O'Mara, Mike O'Mara. He's dying. He's been terminally injured, and he is very articulate and eloquent in his writing. He doesn't play any games. He doesn't try to paint things in any other fashion than they are as bad as they are in his case. He posted another one. Another round in hell done. Another sleepless night, now writhing in pain, staring into the darkness, begging to be freed from this existence. No one comes back from atrophy like this. No one. It is impossible. My life is over. It is over. My body rots with me trapped in it, and every day, every single day, is worse. My legs are tight all the time now, as the last muscle retreats to the bone. I can't put my head back because there is no muscle left in the back of my neck. If I try to lift my arms or lay on my back or even just sit upright, the remaining thin strips of muscle in the right side of my back tear and scrape against my ribs. I have a constant painful hernia feeling on my left flank as the tissues there continue to rip apart, the muscle entirely gone and replaced with skin and fat. Where are you, God? Where? There are so many of us who are so severe, we are dying, tortured. Where is the mercy of awaited, begged for death? Why are we left abandoned by those around us and those we trusted to suffer so horribly? I was not a bad person. I was not. No, I was not. No one would treat a dog like this. No one will even kill a murderer like this. It would be called far too cruel. And the torture goes on and on and on. Please, I beg, into the darkness, please, please, please make it end. He has documented his long, slow, horrible decline as his body is literally falling apart from the genocide of this planet. Not everyone will suffer like Mike is, but just as a lesson as how bad it can get, the loneliness, the emptiness. And you've heard, even Lindsay House was talking about checking out the other day. Remember?
They speak for thousands, maybe even millions worldwide that are in the shadows, suffering.
Just give us a date. When are you going to be better? We're tired of this.
Well, maybe if you help me, I might get better sooner.
That poor woman, I'll never forget that one either. All right, so the point is, there are millions and tens of millions in this country who are suffering, and many of them have nobody to care.
Mm.
Thank goodness for these social media groups, because they do allow people to at least get a little verbal, printed verbal encouragement. It's tough. All right, well, anything you want to add? A lot of interesting material and terribly tragic material. I wish more than anything we could report that there were turnarounds, real turnarounds that lasted. It's just whoever designed this, whatever group, and there were more than one, they designed this weapon to have no mercy whatsoever. None.
We keep finding new avenues of destruction every day.
It's astounding that this is going on, and it is going on.
I guess there's a rumor going around that Japan has banned the mRNA, but I don't know.
Not certified yet. I checked that before. There's no certification that that's a real fact. Watching it. I think it was misconstrued or wishful thinking
or wishful thinking.
But I can't find. I looked it up. I can't find any confirmation. So we're watching. We're watching that. All right. Thank you, young lady.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with more in just a few minutes. So hang on.